It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, it is a good life, and let me qualify that by saying it is a good life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad you could join me once again for It's a Good Life. And we left off last time in the book of John. We read verse 29. And let me go back and verse 27 of John chapter 16. It says, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God." Now remember that Jesus first loved us. And as a saved person, we are to love him. And he puts that within us. Now, we don't really understand the love that Jesus had for us. I can't understand how that God would send his only begotten Son to this earth to die for me. I don't understand that, but I believe it because the Bible has told me so. But as we think of this, the love of Jesus, we can't love as he did and as much as he did, but we can love him because he first loved us. And he puts within us an ability. May I say that it's more than an ability, it is a given from God that we can love back. He's given us that ability, and I'm thankful for that today, that we can love Jesus Christ. And as such, we also love the brethren. We love the brothers and sisters in Christ because we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, verse 27 says, "For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." And he goes on to say again, "I leave the world and go to the Father." He came to the world. Now he's getting ready to leave. Verse 29, John 16 says this, "His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speaketh no proverb." In other words, he was not speaking to them in a parable as such. And they realized that. And he was speaking directly to these people who were there. Verse 30, "Now are we sure," they say, "that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee." Jesus didn't need to be asked who he was at this point because he'd already told the people who he was, and that he did not need to ask anyone what he was doing there because he knew what he was doing there, and neither did these people who were there as Jesus was speaking, his disciples. They didn't need to ask anyone else about Jesus Christ because they knew him. Now, it goes on to say, "By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Why? Because of what Jesus was saying. And, of course, of what they had seen him do as he walked this earth. In verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" Well, he's questioning them now. And verse 32 says, "Behold," Jesus speaking, "the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Now we know that after the crucifixion of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection, that the people were scattered. But here I believe he's talking more recent than that. He's speaking, of course, of his crucifixion when people would leave him. They would scatter because they were afraid. They were watching the Lord die, and therefore, in their minds, they thought that possibly they also would be put to death. So they scattered. They got away. But notice, let's read it again. "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered," right then, "every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." And notice what he says, "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Well, now Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And we get in our minds many times that God forsook the Lord on the cross of Calvary. And I think that could be nothing further from the truth. Jesus Christ, as the human being, was hanging on the cross. God did not die on that cross, and God the Father did not really turn his back on his Son on that cross. I believe that as he watched his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the human Jesus, dying on that cross of Calvary, I believe that he felt pain as well. Is it possible for God to feel pain? I believe it was at that time, because he had given his only begotten son on the cross of Calvary. And as he was hanging on that cross, Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The man cried out in pain and in agony. And I wonder what you would do in that situation as a human being. Would you cry out with the pain and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I believe this was the human part of Jesus crying out. And of course, God had not left him. It may have seemed like that, but God was still with him. And Jesus knew this, and yet the human cried out. He says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I believe God the Father, in a sense, was holding his hand as he slipped into eternity. Now, we say into eternity, he would rise from the grave, and we really understand this, that he is in eternity, what we call eternity, a never-ending life. And that's what we have when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We slip into eternity when the breath of life leaves this body. Now, of course, when Jesus comes back in the clouds and he says, come up hither, the rapture of the church, we will slip into eternity. Whichever happens first, the death of this body as the breath of life leaves, or when Jesus comes back for the saved person saying, come up hither, we too then will slip into eternity, never to die again. This body is going to die, but the real me, the real person who has trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, will never die, according to the scripture. We slip into eternity, and of course, we're going to have a new body fashioned like that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, he says, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And I believe when we slip into eternity that we're not alone. I believe that God is there with us all the way. He's taking care of us. Now, this body could hurt. This body could feel much pain as we're dying. But that does not mean that God has forsaken us. Verse 33 of John chapter 16. These things have I spoken unto you. What things? The things he's been speaking to his apostles and disciples about here. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He's saying, I'm telling you these things so that you don't have to have your heart burdened, that you could have peace. And we know that peace would come later on after they had seen their Savior die. He would appear later on. And he would talk to the apostles, he would talk to disciples. He was seen of over 500 people, even at one time before he went back to the Heavenly Father. He was seen in person. And these people were witnesses of him. These things, he says, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Peace he gives us once we trust him as Lord and Savior. Peace he gives us as we slip into eternity. Peace he gives us all through our human life. And then, of course, peace that passes all understanding when we are with him in glory in eternity. He says, I give you peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm with you. And although we've read this, he's leaving, but he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit is with us to give us comfort according to the Word of God. But Jesus gives us peace. And that verse goes on to say in verse 33 of John 16, in the world you shall have tribulation. We're going to have problems. Now, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know that you have problems in this world. But the fact of the matter is we have tribulation. We do have problems. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not going to have trouble. But the word says here, in the world you shall have tribulation. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, the Savior, came, and he wants us to know that he has overcome the world. Why? Because he's the creator. Why? Because he is the Savior. He has overcome the world, and because he overcame, so can we overcome. We can overcome by standing up for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who, the originator of overcoming the world, overcoming the things that hinder people, overcoming the pain that people feel. Now, once again, we're going to feel pain in this world as human beings, as saved people, but that pain is going to go away the moment that we close our eyes in death. Now, I say in death, this body's going to die, but the moment we close our eyes and we wake up in the arms of Jesus, then there is no more pain. The body is gone. We'll never feel pain again. And we have that promise from the Lord. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He overcame death. You say, well, he died. Well, he overcame death because he rose from the grave. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life. And he gives us that eternal life once we trust him as Lord and Savior. And as a saved person, you need to take that to heart today because you're on your way to heaven. Nothing can change that because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome death. I have overcome Satan. I have overcome anything that can cause you problems. And we need to take that to heart today. And remember, we will have trouble in this world, but Jesus has overcome that. He helps us through these things that we face daily in our lives. So we need to take that to heart today. Verse 33 of John 16 once again says this, Jesus speaking, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's not only speaking to the people there, but he's speaking to us today who are alive, people who are waiting for Jesus to come for us. We are waiting, and we have this confidence that Jesus is coming for us. These things, he says, I have spoken unto you. What things? The things contained in the Word of God. The things that he's written to us as saved people, let not your heart be troubled. He gives peace. He gives understanding. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth through the Word of God. And the Bible tells us who the real living Word is, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1, verse 14 says, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. These people saw Jesus Christ living back then, and the good news is we can see him today through the eye of faith. And we believe that Jesus Christ came into this world. He gave his life for the people of this world so that each one could go to heaven one day and not suffer the pains of hell for eternity. We will have joy unspeakable when we are with our Savior in heaven. Do you know him today as your Savior? If not, let me invite you to trust him today. The Bible talks about repentance. Repentance means that you're willing to turn, that you're willing to let God turn you. You're willing to change your mind about how to get to heaven. You may have thought it's by works. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. Repentance means that you've changed your mind about how to get to heaven, and now you're ready to go God's way. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Won't you trust him today as your Savior? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember, salvation is a free gift according to the Word of God. Accept that today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.